Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this Easter morning. Oh, the surprising part of this. But these words seem to them to be an idle tale. In other words, too good to be true. We've all heard that phrase. That news is just too good to be true. Most of us have said it on occasion. So who can blame the apostles as they all the rest, as they listened to the women coming back from the tomb, as the women shared their account of what took place? These words seemed to them to be an idle tale. Now, the truer translation of the Greek for idle tale would be something you probably don't wish the pastor to say from the pulpit on Easter morning. Yet at its root, it still conveys that's just too good to be true. So we'll stick with that. But it begs the question, why do the disciples respond in disbelief as the women come back with the good news from those two men in dazzling duds standing at the tomb? Well, let's take a quick moment to walk through the roller coaster of ups and downs leading up to this revelation for these women. In John's gospel, we hear the tale of Lazarus falling ill and dying. Of course, Martha is very upset at this, but then she's even more upset because Jesus does not arrive in time. But then Jesus does show up after Lazarus dies. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And Martha proclaims Jesus as the Messiah. Then Mary anoints Jesus' feet at the home of Lazarus 6 days before the Passover meal in the upper room. Now this action, the anointing of Jesus' feet, was Mary's proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. Literally, Messiah means the anointed one. Then Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A celebration begins as the followers of this unlikely rabbi took palm branches and waved them in the air to greet their Savior. As they shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I believe this is what Jesus' followers were expecting as they envisioned their new life with Jesus as their Savior. Parades and celebrations. Then, now if Mary and the rest of the women were not at the Passover meal, which I find hard to believe, they would have at least heard the actions of Jesus. He washed the disciples' feet. He informed the group of the betrayer in their midst. He shares the Passover meal, the Last Supper, and then delivered the new commandment to love one another as Jesus loves. Then the betrayal of the Savior, which leads to his crucifixion and his death. These last few weeks and days have been full of twists and turns, emotional highs and depressing lows. Now the women find themselves in the tomb. No wonder they are perplexed. Literally, the Greek word means not knowing which way to turn. They've been through so much already. Now they cannot find the body of their Savior and friend. If we stop and look, there's a pattern here. Life as we live, we have our own expectations of what should be. And then tragedy happens. And then doubt creeps in. But then God shows up with resurrection and hope. Lazarus and Mary and Martha, regular people living their regular lives until they're not. Lazarus gets sick and dies at tragedy. Martha blames Jesus for not being there. There's doubt that sets in. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life, resurrection and hope. Jesus enters Jerusalem. Again, an example of the way they thought life would be with their Messiah. Then there's the Passover meal, but Jesus declares he will be betrayed doubts enter in. Jesus is arrested, crucified, and dies. More doubt and bewilderment. The woman go to the tomb and can't find Jesus' body. Even more uncertainty and perplexity. In the current times that we find ourselves, there is so much doubt about things. Are we post-COVID-ish? Maybe? Is COVID over? Is it not? The war in Ukraine, when will it be over? How does it end? Gun violence all over the place. New York just last week. When will that be over? Illness and disease taking over much of our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Illness and disease, immigrants and displaced nations of refugees. Racism, homophobia, sexism, ageism, world hunger, too many issues to count. If one spends too much time in any one of these tombs, one may become just as perplexed as the women in the tomb. Which way does one turn? But the women in the tomb are not alone. They have interacted with the holy. Two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them and asked, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Can you imagine the cascade of memories that flooded their minds? The healing, the laughter, the shared meals, the feeding of the thousands, the sleepless nights, the blessing of the children, the walking on water, the welcoming of the stranger, the impossible made possible. On the third day, he will rise again. Thank God for those women. They are the individuals God trusted to bring the news to the 11 and all the rest. They are the ones who brought good news to the 11 and all the rest and birthed a new hope for all believers. The hope we are reminded of on Easter Sunday, on every Sunday. The women told the others what they had witnessed. Not the resurrection, not yet, but the empty tomb, which eventually brought hope as they remembered what Jesus had told them and what has come true. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. It is the promise of resurrection that gives us hope. It gave Peter hope, not at first, but something drove Peter back to the tomb to see for himself. In Luke 24, we heard, "And returning from the tomb, they," the women, "told all this to the 11 and to all the rest." Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linens by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The promise of the resurrection is what gave Peter hope to seek Jesus in the last place he saw him. It is the promise of resurrection that gives us hope. When life is causing us to be perplexed, when we do not know which way to turn, go to the place we meet Jesus. Now, individually, that place, that location can vary. It could be one's favorite private prayer place. It could be outside in wilderness. It could be another place among nature. But communally, that place is here at the altar as we worship together, as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness, as we break bread together, as we share wine, the Holy is present. This is where we are fed and nourished around the table of friends, family, acquaintances, and strangers. This is where we encounter the holy, not the only place, but this is where we are reminded of all the things that Jesus taught the disciples and his followers. This is where we are reminded of the holy miracles, the wonders, because this is where the community hears the stories of the love of God for the whole universe. This is where we gather. This is where we hear the word. This is where we feast in the meal. This is where we are filled with the Holy Spirit and sent out to share the resurrection hope that we have received. In Acts, we heard this morning, they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. The work of the resurrection is done. The work of spreading the good news of resurrection hope continues through us. We now live in the hope of the resurrection. I've been pastor long enough to hear individuals tell me the thought of world peace is too good to be true, and it will only happen when Jesus comes back. My question to them is, then why are we here? If there is nothing we can do about world peace or injustice, and we are only here to wait for Jesus to come back, what's our purpose? That's why when people tell me the thought of world peace is too good to be true, that world peace will never come to fruition, I tell them that's an idle tale. Others might say the idea of ending injustice and world hunger is too good to be true. I tell them that's an idle tale. Nothing is impossible with God. God has provided everything we need to provide justice, peace, and food on every table. We are people of resurrection hope, and we have the empty tomb to prove it. When people say, we will never achieve world peace or eliminate world hunger until Jesus comes back, that is the idle tale. Otherwise, why are we here? To hold space and time and only wait for Jesus' return? Newsflash, he was already here. The disciples learned from him, and so do we. Jesus ate with the disciples, as he does with us. Jesus loved his disciples as Jesus loves us. And even when the disciples betrayed him and ran away in his hour of need, as he was hung on the tree and died, he came back to love them and us anyway. The tomb is empty. Through the Holy Spirit, we possess the resurrection hope. It is in each one of us. We are called into this hope and into the work of the new commandment, loving our neighbors. We are the people of resurrection hope, and that hope is what will propel us into an unknown future to seek world peace, provide food for everyone, encourage equality for all people, male, female, every gender expression, every nationality, campaign for more comprehensive gun laws, promote safer immigration laws, welcome the refugees, advocate for justice everywhere. The only thing stopping us is us. Oh, and those people who say the empty tomb is an idle tale. People tell me, Pastor, you live in a dream world. Maybe so, but I like to call it resurrection hope. Each generation has catastrophes that impact them. Wars, assassinations, depressions, recessions, Y2K, 9/11, natural and human-made disasters, epidemics, pandemics, and we often don't make the right decisions. But these things don't define us. They impact us, there's no doubt. But each generation has made, even though each generation has made horrible mistakes through betrayal and running away, each one has also made great strides in emulating resurrection hope. It is God's resurrection hope that defines us as we are God's beloved children. God has completed the resurrection. The tomb is empty. In our Isaiah text, we heard, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create West Lafayette and Lafayette as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in West Lafayette and Lafayette, and people will delight in my people. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now it is up to us to have the same courage as the woman in the tomb to go and tell a hurting world what some would say is too good to be true, that the tomb is empty. Resurrection has occurred. Jesus is with us. You are loved, and we have a new commandment to love one another. Amen.